Welcome to the Teaching Space podcast, coming to you from Guernsey in the Channel Islands. Hello, it's Martine here. Welcome to episode 116 of the Teaching Space podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Let me start this episode by giving you a little bit of background as to why I've chosen this as a subject. You see, in my teaching practice, as somebody who teaches teachers, I am always hyper aware of the need for my learners to regularly engage with the material I'm teaching them, to embed it in their long-term memory. I also plan a great deal of retrieval practice in order to support retention of the things that I'm trying to teach them. It's the only way they're going to remember. Incidentally, if you're interested in some of the theory behind memory and retention, the Ebbinghaus forgetting curve is a really good solid starting point. I have found a video on YouTube that's less than 2 minutes long about the Ebbinghaus forgetting curve, and I will make sure that is linked to in the show notes, which you'll find at theteachingspace.com/116. Even though I am very aware of the need to embed new knowledge in long-term memory and how to go about it and how to retrieve it and so on, I seem to have overlooked this situation when it comes to my own learning. This has become particularly obvious lately as I am working on year two of my master's in education. And in year two, sometimes I need to remember what I did in year one, particularly some of the journal articles that I read and things like that. I quickly realised that I need to do some work on my reading and note-taking workflow, both for study-related reading, but also other non-fiction reading that I do. Any reading that relates to learning or self-improvement in some way. To rectify the situation, obviously I reflected on the strategies I use with my own learners. I did some further research, I watched a lot of YouTube videos and read a great deal, and now I feel I have a solid approach to reading and taking notes, and I can already see I'm starting to remember far better what I've read. In this episode, I am going to share my new approach with you. It's my hope that this will be helpful to you personally, but also you might want to use some of these strategies with your learners. Before we dig into the strategies, I want to be super clear and explain that this episode focuses on reading and remembering works of non-fiction rather than fiction. I am honestly not too fussed if I can't remember fiction books that I've read. I read them, or specifically I listen to them, for pure relaxation and escapism, and taking notes on a fiction book would just ruin the entire experience for me. Also, in this episode, I'm focusing on real books as opposed to audiobooks. Goodness me, that's a controversial thing to say. I do 100% believe audiobooks are real books. But to clarify, the strategies I outline in this episode relate to Kindle books or paperback or hardback books. You can also apply the strategies to academic reading, which for me tends to be in PDF format for journal articles and that sort of thing. As a related side note, you'll be aware if you've been listening for a while that I'm a big audiobook fan, and up until very recently I have listened to non-fiction books as audiobooks. But for 2021 I will be consuming non-fiction books on my Kindle, and the reason for this is I want to apply the strategies outlined in this episode to help me remember my non-fiction reading. I have set myself a 12 book target for 2021, that is, I plan to read a book a month every month for 2021 on my Kindle. By the time you listen to this episode, I should hopefully have 3 non-fiction books read and written up already. Fingers crossed. It's time for a quick ad break. When you read a non-fiction book or an article online, you probably want to be able to learn from it. At the very least, you want to remember what you read. The trouble is, just reading isn't enough. You need to engage with the material to remember it. So I like to highlight and annotate ebooks and articles. Readwise sends the information to my note-taking app of choice, in my case Notion, but others are supported, allowing me to review my annotations as often as I like. I also receive a daily email from Readwise to remind me what I've highlighted. If you'd like to try Readwise, you can have a free month on me. Go to theteachingspace.com/readwise. What a relevant ad break. I will tell you a little bit more about how Readwise plays a part in my reading workflow in just a moment. Let's start at the beginning, though. How do I remember what I read? Well, the first stage involves highlighting. If you are using a physical book, then clearly an old-fashioned highlighter pen will do the job. For me, on Kindle, I use the built-in highlight feature. I must say, it's not terribly easy to use on the Kindle I have. I've got a Paperwhite, but I did notice there is a new Kindle out now, and I'm crossing my fingers that might have a better highlight function, but until I know any more about it, I won't be upgrading. If you have the latest Kindle and are listening to this episode, I would be so grateful if you got in touch with me to let me know how the highlighting works for you. Just drop me a quick email, hello@theteachingspace.com, or come and chat to me in the Teaching Space community. That would be so helpful. Thank you. Back to highlighting. The thing is, what do you highlight? You certainly can't highlight too much. You can't get to the stage where you have highlighted the vast majority of the book. That is not helpful. I never highlight when I read a passage for the first time. I tend to go back on a page and highlight where possible. I am highlighting things that really stick out to me as things I want to remember in the future, or things that summarise key themes in a book. Highlighting on its own isn't enough, though. How many times have you highlighted a book and closed it and then never thought about the highlights again? They just live in the book. For highlights to have value, they need to be revisited. You need to engage with the material in order to remember it. And while highlighting is engaging with material, if it's only once, it's not enough. To elevate my highlighting practice, I add a note or an annotation to every highlight I make. If you're working with a physical book, then this is nice and easy. You can just write in the margin. Incidentally, I learned recently that that practice is called marginalia. Isn't that an amazing word, marginalia? If you're on the Kindle, you can simply add a note, and the Kindle app works in a similar way as well. Forgive me, I'm not familiar with other e-readers, but I'm confident they have the same sort of functionality. When I make a note accompanied by a highlight, the sort of things I will write in the note are answers to the following questions. What does this highlight mean in my own words? Why did I highlight it? How is the idea that is highlighted interesting or useful to me? Where possible, if, for example, I'm reading in relation to an assignment I've got coming up for my master's, I will try to link it to the assignment in some way. You can see how this expands my practice of highlighting, but still the same thing applies. You can write all of the notes you want in the margin of a book. However, if you don't revisit that information more than once, it's likely to be forgotten. This is where Readwise comes in for me. It's such a great service. I send all of the notes and highlights I make on my Kindle to the Readwise app. I have Readwise set up with Notion, so the two integrate, and all of my highlights and notes go into a Readwise database. You can set Readwise up so it sends you a daily or less frequent email. that resurfaces notes and highlights you've made in your books over a period of time. So it's bringing this information back to you and sparking ideas. And there's that repetition element that's essential for getting stuff into your long-term memory. This is a really nice feature of Readwise. Incidentally, Readwise isn't just for Kindle. You can send all sorts of highlights and annotations to the service. As I mentioned a moment ago, I used Notion to manage my, or rather support, my reading workflow. I have a number of databases that relate to my reading. The first is a reading database. Each entry on the database includes author details, progress with the book, that sort of thing. And for academic reading, I have the original PDF uploaded, the annotated PDF, and any bibliographic information. I have my Readwise database, which contains highlights and annotations that I have made via my Kindle. And then I have a notes database for anything I've written outside of the margins of the book, effectively. All of these databases are linked up together. So for example, if I open the reading database, I can see the Readwise entries and I can see any notes that are associated. I'd happily do a video demonstrating this if anyone is interested in my Notion reading and note-taking workflow. On the subject of taking notes, I think the next stage in leveling up your reading and absolutely ensuring you remember what you've read is to consider writing a summary of the book. In your summary, you can start to develop the ideas that are shared in the book, and this is really taking your learning and your understanding to the next level. If writing a detailed book summary feels a little bit intimidating, or it feels like it is making the practice of reading far more than you want it to be, why not consider writing a 3-sentence summary? Someone who does this particularly well is James Clear. James Clear is an author I mentioned in the previous episode. He is known for his book Atomic Habits, which I highly rate. He writes and publishes online 3-sentence summaries of all of the non-fiction books he is reading, and they are great. It's a fantastic way to summarise the book and really highlight the key points in it. I will be sure to share a link to James Clear's website and his 3-sentence summaries in the show notes for this episode. Full disclosure, I haven't published any book summaries yet. My summarising skills are mainly focused on academic papers, journal articles, that sort of thing at the moment. But this is something I want to explore. And I'm really drawn to the idea of a 3-sentence summary. So I will keep you posted on this. Okay, let's wrap things up with a very quick summary of how I remember what I read. Using the example of reading a Kindle book, I make highlights in the book, picking out important points that I want to remember. I expand those highlights to include notes or annotations, ideally in my own words, pointing out why an idea is interesting or useful to me. I send the highlights and notes to Readwise and use their spaced repetition email service. My future practice is likely to be summarising the book I've read in 3 sentences and bringing it together with the annotations and the highlights that I've made. And that's it. I hope you found this episode useful and interesting. If you'd like to discuss it more, please pop into the Teaching Space community, which you can find at community.theteachingspace.com. I would love to share ideas with you on how to remember what you read. I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to the Teaching Space podcast. You can find the show notes for this episode at theteachingspace.com.